Heather Riegelman and I, Lori Wildenberg, we welcome you back to Moms Better Together podcast. In episode 2, Heather, we talked about how to foster the qualities of kindness and gentleness in our kiddos. And man, that actually raises the bar for me personally, I have to say. And we also took a peek at how Joseph in his adult years was able to demonstrate that kindness, even and especially when he'd been treated with cruelty. And that's pretty amazing. So today is episode 3. And we are going to be talking about finding peace and contentment during hard things, such as like our COVID times right now, or anxious and devastating things, and even maybe as simple as really, really busy times. Really busy times can stir up a discontent and a lack of peace. And gosh, Heather, you are so in the middle of a really crazy time. So audience, here's the thing. Heather's a mom of 3 kids. She's a full-time writer. She's a soon-to-be mother of the bride. And on top of that, she and her husband, Chris, are building a house. Okay, whoa. I feel anxious even saying all that. That just is a lot. So I am going to guess that perhaps there have been some anxious moments with all these things going on, Heather.
Oh, we've had an anxious moment or two. Definitely. It's been interesting, but for the most part, just because of the fact that, you know, we try to put Christ first, we've kind of learned to check our emotions. So that's been really helpful. And then I also have you that I can lean on and talk to like when I need to, which has been amazing. So I do appreciate that. It does help that you're like a licensed parent educator. So that makes a huge difference, at least for me. So anyways, today we're going to be unpacking some great ways to help our kids gravitate towards peace and contentment instead of anxiety and discontentment. To do this, we asked Emily Scott onto the show, and we asked her how her and her husband, Chris, were able to encourage peace in the midst of chaos and loss. But before we begin, let's have Emily introduce herself. Emily.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm Emily Scott. I'm a parenting writer over at Renewed Hope Parenting, and I also am one of the mom's mentors. I help with the social media there. So my husband and I have been married for 10 years, and we are raising 3 little kids and lots of furry kids.
How many furry kids do you have?
We have 4 dogs and 1 cat that I swore we would never get.
Oh, that is so cute. Okay. Well, before we hear the Scott family story, let's go ahead and set the stage for today's discussion. Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and his story is found in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. And so we base the season of the podcast on his life because his life reflects the fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And so the broad overview that we have for Joseph is that we learned that he was 30 when he was made the overseer to the king of Egypt, but he was 17 when he was sold as a slave by his brothers. And then he spent 11 years as a slave and then 2 additional years in prison. So he had high hopes that he would be released from prison when he correctly interpreted 2 dreams for a couple of the prisoners. But that hope was dashed when the cupbearer, following his reinstatement to the service of the king, forgot to mention Joseph's talent of interpreting dreams. So sometime following the cupbearer's release, the king began having more troubled dreams. And so that was when the cupbearer remembered Joseph and recommended him to interpret the king's dreams. So after Joseph was able to, you know, explain what the dreams meant, the king released him from prison, and then he was actually made the king's top official in Egypt.
So as we listen to Joseph's story, we can totally see God's hand in this, right? Mm-hmm. How he was able to mold and refine Joseph during those years as a slave and as a prisoner, and then also perfectly placed him to be in the palace. So we can see that in hindsight, and it's been said, hindsight, it's 2020, and we can all see God's hand after the fact, mm-hmm. and the why tends to make a lot more sense. But Joseph, he didn't sit in the why. He, even while he was in prison, he stayed present. And he didn't want to be incarcerated, but he continued to do his best in whatever circumstance that God was allowing in his life. And, you know, I personally fight against that. And that's a pretty tough thing, not to get stuck in the whys. The whys and the what ifs, we tend to roll around in that a lot. And gosh, Emily, you and your family have had some pretty trying times. And, you know, you got to sometimes ask, well, why would this happen? Your family, the Scott family, you have had a true trial by fire experience. And I mean, literally. So if you could, tell our audience your story and how, as a family, you sought and fostered peace and contentment, even in the midst of devastating circumstances.
In June 2018, we bought our forever house, and we were really excited. We bought it knowing that we were probably going to have to fix it up and update it and make it our home. But little did we know, we were actually going to have to rebuild the entire thing. Just 34 days after we moved in, we hadn't even finished unpacking. We hadn't even paid our first mortgage payment on the house. One of the most historic wildfires in California history swept through. It destroyed our house and almost 1,100 others in our community. It was devastation that we had never seen. I've lived here my entire life, and we have fires every year, but nothing like this had ever happened. It was something that we never even dreamed would have happened. It was just so much to deal with. We didn't have clothes for our kids. We didn't have toys for them. We didn't have a place to live. So it's the kind of thing that you think is never going to happen to you. But it did happen to us, and we had to find a way to overcome the tragedy. And it's hard to believe that now, 2.5 years later, the fire is something that I'm actually thankful happened. Sitting in a hotel with as close to nothing as I could imagine, I would have never thought that this event would be such a catalyst for growth. It made our kids so strong. We still think about the things that we lost, and there's so many precious things that we can never replace. We think about those things, but we deeply feel what we actually gained from the experience. We gained a deeper faith, resilience, a sense of community, and a really strong family bond. It really is beauty that came from ashes.
Oh, wow. I can't even imagine that type of tragedy that you're facing. I mean, you had just built like this beautiful house. I mean, this was like your forever home. I mean, and the kids obviously knew that too. Cause I mean, you're always having, cause we're building a house right now. And so we're having those conversations about how this is going to be like our forever home, but we have like those tangible things to hang on to, and you guys didn't. So, I mean, it's a beautiful story about, especially about like the resilience. I mean, that is just, I mean,
it's huge.
It is huge. So what tips do you have for parents whose children are facing like disappointment or even despair?
It's a hard thing as a parent to see your kid struggling with sadness or anything like that. But there are a few things that personally we did that I think really helped our family through the process. We let them see the real of the whole thing. We let our kids see and experience the pain that went along with our tragedy. We didn't try to shield them from all of it. They were very young at the time. So, you know, we kept it as age appropriate as we could, but we let it be real for them. We let them be sad, but we also helped them to feel better when they were sad. We were there for them when they were scared or sad or had nightmares. And we didn't try to magically fix every problem that came up. We talked about how these feelings are often only temporary. A lot of times kids don't have that forward thinking to know I'm not always going to feel this sad. A lot of times grief doesn't go away completely. And that's understandable. You know, you lose somebody you love, you're probably never going to get over that. But a lot of times the disappointment and the sadness that we feel are only temporary, and kids don't always get that. Empathy and support. I understood a lot of the sadness that they felt when they realized that a lot of their toys were in toy heaven, because I lost a lot of really important things and special things too. But there are times that we don't understand the sadness and disappointment that our kids are feeling. But I think in either situation, we can always be empathetic and understanding. We can be there to walk with them through whatever life throws at them. And these moments are huge for connection and building our relationship. Asking for help. We had complete strangers wanting to help us. A big tragedy like this really brings out people's generosity. People were offering to let us and all of our pets come and live with them. One lady followed us out of the grocery store to give us toys and clothes that her kids were donating. We had Samaritan's Purse and Billy Graham at our house, like the kind of thing that you see on the news when tragedy strikes. They were on our driveway praying over our property. It was just, it was amazing. But asking for help isn't always easy. But I think that, you know, as parents, we need help and our kids sometimes need help. It takes a lot of strength to reach out to get that help. Part of being resilient is finding resources and finding help and not suffering alone. Which brings me to the other point of resilience and a growth mindset. Bad things happen. We face challenges and struggles, and these can leave scars. But scars show strength and healing. My husband was really good at this. He didn't see us as losing everything as a setback. He saw it as a challenge to overcome. He saw it as an opportunity to grow and an opportunity for our kids to develop resilience. And just our kids seeing this was wonderful, but he also talked them through the process. It didn't have to be a detrimental experience for any of us. It was sad and it was hard, but it also built our character and our resilience. I think that hope is a huge part of this. I know a lot of people choose like a word of the year at the beginning of every year, and that word kind of guides them. Well, I didn't pick a word. God picked the word for me, and he picked hope. We experienced tragedy, but the true tragedy would have been allowing it to defeat us. So we held tight to hope. There are no limitations in God's hope. And although we don't always understand his ways, we can always put our hope in him. And that it brings me to kind of the last one, to lean into God. For us, this could have been one of those true testing of faith moments. One of those, why did you let this happen? How could you let this happen to us? But instead, we chose to lean into God and allow him to lift us up through it.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
We've had hardship too now. We haven't had a fire, but hardship comes in unexpected ways always. And, you know, I never expected that we would have a child who would have had an accident that was nearly fatal. And she was in a snowboard accident. And I can say, man, listening, Emily, to your tips, they are so good to be real, to have empathy and support, to ask for help, to teach that resilience and the growth mindset, to have hope and to lean into God. And when my daughter we were in the emergency room and she was being wheeled away for surgery. She was unconscious. I said to the Lord, what do I say to my kiddo? This might be the last time I speak to her. And, he told me to say, you know, God is with you. And so I spoke that to her in her unconscious state as they were flying through the hospital. And then after I said it, I was like, what the heck, God? That's what I say to these could be my last words. Don't I tell her I love her? And the Lord clearly said to me, you know, Lori, she knows you love her. She needs to know I'm with her. And later, after Kendra came out of her surgery, and it was a couple days later when she was actually getting better, I asked her when she was conscious if she had heard what I said to her before they wheeled her away. And she said, oh, yeah, Mom, you told me God is with me. And God can get his message through whether we are conscious or not. And to have that hope and cling to that hope for our kids to know that God is with them. And that is a way to lean in to the Lord. So, boy, you know, our struggles come in a lot of different ways. And I love what you said when we had talked earlier that, you know, our scars show our strength and our healing. And I think that's such a critical thought. And so my daughter, she's got quite a few scars going from her sternum all the way down to her belly button. And she calls it her six pack. So every time she looks at that scar, that's her lifeline. And that reminds her that God was with her.
Oh, wow. I can't even right now. That was like a mic drop moment. So it's where I'm at with the both of you. I mean, that is just so, so powerful. Like the story that you shared, Lori. And then also the quote that you have, Emily, about scars. I used to be really embarrassed of the scars that I have. I have scars from a suicide attempt back when I was in college. And so for the longest time, especially like when my kids were little, you know, they would always ask me about the scars. And so I would, you know, just change the subject or distract them or cover it up. But it's gotten to the point where, you know, our kids, my kids are older, and we are going through the trenches of learning how to find peace and contentment in a world that's filled with anxiety and other things. And so it's gotten to the point where, you know, I'm honest with my kids about my scars, and I tell them that this is, mm-hmm. you know, this is where I was, but look how far God has brought me. And so I absolutely love what you say about how scars can show strength and healing. And so piggybacking off of that conversation, Lori, she's getting ready to have a book be released by New Hope Publishers. It's going to be released in August. And the title is Messy Hope: Help Your Kids Overcome Anxiety, Depression, and Suicidal Ideation. And so I understand that they can actually start pre-ordering this book now, Lori. Is that true?
Yeah. Actually, Emily found that it was available before I even knew it. And so that's pretty funny. Anyway, so I guess the publishers don't ask the author's permission. but I'm all for it. So yeah, it can be pre-ordered over at newhopepublishers.com, Messy Hope, or it can also be pre-ordered on Amazon. Messy Hope: Help Your Child Overcome Anxiety, Depression, and Suicidal Ideation. So yeah, we are in a real season of struggle, and you know, the whole anxiety and depression and the suicide thing is over the top. Mm-hmm. And I think if parents can really implement a lot of the tips, Emily, that you gave, your very wise five helpful tips, I think that will help increase resilience and hope, not just resilience, but hope too in our kiddos. Emily, where can listeners find you?
Well, first of all, I'm very excited about your book. I have read your other ones, and they have been wonderful, and I can't put them down when I start them. So I'm excited about your new one. But I write over at renewedhopeparenting.com, also Facebook with the same name. And I also lead the Moms Together Facebook group discussions on the third Monday each month. And those are always so fun and I love leading those discussions. I hope that they bless other people. But the truth is, the moms always find a way to bless me even more than I ever could.
Oh, wow. Emily, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. And you guys definitely find her website. Check out her content. She has some great resources. She has some fantastic tips. And we are going to go ahead and conclude the show with a verse and a prayer. So today's verse is from Philippians 4:7. And it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Lori, would you close us in prayer?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Father, thank you for this time with both Heather and Emily. And Father, we ask a special blessing upon Emily and her family and how they have honored and loved you in the midst of some pretty hard things. And thank you that you have used her and her story to draw us actually closer to you and to see your goodness in the midst of some great hardship. Thank you that Emily reminds us to be true and real and authentic in our suffering and not to pretend that it's not happening, so that our kids can feel the same way. And when we go through struggles, truly, we want to respond with empathy, Lord, but we also know that you increase empathy in us for others who are going through struggles. And for that, we thank you. And thank you, Lord, that you've created us for connections so that, Lord, we know that it is not only okay, but it is very good to ask for help. And Lord, remind us that you have created us to be strong and to not to fear, and help us grow in ourselves and in our kiddos resilience and hope, and help us to remember that you are with us so that we can lean into you. Father, we thank you for all these things. Thank you for that peace that transcends all understanding, and that will guard our hearts and our minds when we remember to keep our focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We hope this episode encouraged you and has equipped you with some easily applicable parenting tools. So yes, moms, give us a like.
And if you want to know more about Lori Wilderberg and me, Heather Riegelman, be sure to check out our website, wearemomstogether.com.
Moms Better Together is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Wem Network. If you enjoyed Heather and Lori's conversation today, will you take a minute to leave them a rating and review in your favorite podcast app so more people like you can find the show? This podcast was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. To find more faith-filled, encouraging podcasts like this one, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Scripture and brain science agree. Meditating on God's Word transforms us and reduces stress in our lives. I'm Jody Nisnik, host of So Much More, Creating Space for God, a scripture meditation podcast. And each week I give you space to hear God's Word, listen to the Spirit, and pray about what's on your heart. And then we have a thoughtful conversation with guests to help us go deeper. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.